there, and welcome to this, the 38th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And today, I couldn't be more excited, we couldn't be more excited, that we are moving forward with Dr. Megan Baer. Dr. Baer is a psychologist who specializes in multiple sclerosis at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. She began her PhD in clinical psychology with a specialization in health and neuropsychology. She then completed a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Washington, where she focused on rehabilitation, cognition, and mental health in individuals living with MS. Her passion for increasing access to mental health care is a focus of research, clinical care, and the inspiration for founding her podcast, Find Empathy. Welcome, Dr. Baer.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation as well.
And this is, as we had said, and the one thing that we really, that led us to talk with you is with the podcast, Find Empathy. And this is something that we are always pushing in our work with just trying to get other people to understand multiple sclerosis. But then imagine that, trying to get then the doctors to understand our position, because those are the people we really want to understand what we're doing. And so I think that's the big question we have. What led you back in the day to just say, hey, this is necessary and this is what I want to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it really comes from the people that I was working with. So I remember distinctly when I was in on my fellowship, I'll give a few examples. I remember coming in and I was talking to somebody, and I had just had a conversation with her doctor about something that had happened to her over the weekend. And I said, oh, how is this thing that happened? And she goes, oh, wow, you talk to each other. And then she started to explain to me about different kinds of medication she was on. And I said, oh, yeah, I understand this disease-modifying medication, and I understand the side effects. You know, are you struggling with X, Y, and Z? And she goes, oh, my, I've never had anybody understand what the disease-modifying medications are. I've always had to teach that to people. And so it was really, it got us to her real challenges faster because I already understood that. And then fast forward, after my training, I got a faculty position at Johns Hopkins and was working with multiple sclerosis specifically there. And I just remember somebody coming in and saying that they had been through three different community mental health providers who all said, I don't really understand your diagnosis, and I don't really think that I can help you. And so when they finally made their way to me, and I had some training and background and understanding of what the diagnosis was, what the treatments were, what were some of the biggest challenges facing people living with MS. And, you know, every person's story is a little bit different, but, you know, just sort of the broad strokes understanding, it really got us moving faster, and it was a huge relief. So I think hearing again and again from people that this was such a valuable experience for them to meet somebody who got it was part of it. And then the other piece of it is I've, on the other side of the table, where I've been in faculty meetings, or I've been on national medical advisory boards, and I've heard physicians or medical colleagues say, you know, where can I send my patients where they really get it? I mean, I'm referring them out to people, and it never sticks. They don't get MS. And so when I was hearing this kind of on both sides of the table, I thought, you know, there needs to be something out there where we can start to connect the dots, where we can help mental health providers who want to be there, who want to help people really have a better grasp on what different kind of medical conditions are out there, what the diagnoses are, what the treatments are. And that way, it's not reliant on patients who are coming in to teach that to their providers.
And that's so important. And that is, to me, the cornerstone of empathy, is that you understand, you meet the patients where they are, and you understand their experience, is, you know, to the best of your knowledge. Would you say that that's a pretty fair definition of empathy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think empathy to me is sort of, right, it's sort of standing alongside somebody, right? You're not telling them how to feel. You're not trying to fix their problems. You're just sort of being there in them, or in it with them, right?
Yes.
And so, like I said, you know, every person's story is a little bit different, and their needs are going to be unique. But I think having some baseline information helps both of us get to that place of empathy faster.
And that's important, that, you know, especially when you're dealing with a chronic illness, which moves so quickly, and it's ironic, it forces you to move slowly, but the disease moves quickly. So to have that quick understanding and getting to that place of empathy.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so genius. It's like, it's not just, I mean, not just a podcast. I mean, this is when you're talking about continuing education. I mean, this is that what gives people the incentive to really take this seriously, that this isn't just people talking. There's some, it really gives value to it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I was trying to do that for a couple of reasons. One, you know, I think it gives it a little more credibility, right? That these different educational bodies, so we're approved to provide CE credits for social workers, psychologists, and licensed professional counselors. And so, you know, I think it gives us a little bit more, it gives me a little bit more of that stamp of approval that we went through the whole accreditation and that these organizations find value in the way that we're putting our education together. I think the other thing is, you know, we are required as mental health providers to take, you know, approximately, it's slightly different for each state and different type of medical population, but it, you know, about 12 credits per year. And so it's a requirement. So if people are required to take these, then maybe it's a little bit more incentive to take our credits. And then I think, you know, a lot of mental health providers who are kind of more generally trained are looking for a way to niche, or a way to find a population that they can really work with exclusively. And I'm hoping that as this education grows, that we are going to help people to find a niche either in MS or in, you know, another medical condition that we do later. We're working on a couple of other ones coming down the pike, but there's a huge need in all of these different medical diagnoses. And I think if we can get more people in the door, mental health providers, to really see these as their niche, then, you know, more patients and families and referring medical providers will be served by that as well.
And I think that's the, you know, then as to people living with MS, then it presents the question, how do we get so lucky that MS was your first choice to move forward with this find empathy?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, so MS, I have been working with people that have MS since about 2007. And when I was in graduate school, I thought I would work with brain injury, because I had worked as a direct care worker with people with severe traumatic brain injury prior to going back to grad school. Loved that work. So that was what I was planning on doing. And then I ended up just sort of by happenstance working and doing a clinical rotation in an MS center. And I absolutely loved it. And I also realized that there was a huge need in MS, right? There was a limited amount of psychological research at that time. I think it's definitely expanded since 2007. Mm-hmm. There's also not as much work in terms of cognitive rehabilitation to help with cognitive challenges in MS like there was in brain injury or stroke or other kinds of medical conditions. And so I just saw both my passion grow for it as well as the need. And so then I did my postdoctoral training in MS, and I was planning on being an academician, you know, doing all academic research and clinical work in MS for the rest of my career. And, you know, I took a little bit of a turn here with this education just because I was finding that, you know, there was walls in the academic world that was, you know, what we were doing in research was not making it outside of the hospital system. And so I just felt like, you know, maybe there's something that I can do to bridge that gap. And so I still, you know, I'm still at Hopkins. I'm still doing clinical work there. I still have my pinky in research, but I'm really taking, you know, a hard look at this part of it, because I really think it's important that we don't just get the grant money, do the research, and then we move on to the next grant, and that kind of gets published, but nobody ever sees it, never sees the light of day. I think we really need to take all of that information that we've been gathering and really put it out there where people can find it, utilize it, you know, all of those things.
And when you say find the information and utilize it, I don't know, as a patient with MS, if that was your expected population that would be listening to the podcast. But Megan, it's super interesting. And I listen, and it's like, I almost feel like a fly on the wall sometimes. Like, am I supposed to be listening to this? And so, I mean, how does that make you feel? I mean, was that kind of what you were hoping for, or is that just...
You know, my initial goal was for it to be for mental health providers, but I found that so many people with MS have been listening to it and have been getting something out of it, and I'm thrilled about that. I want to break down that wall and the curtain and look, take a peek behind the curtain. I often, when I'm working with people, will give them the, you know, therapist treatment manual, right? Because I think it's just as important for the person I'm working with to understand how I'm thinking about it and say, yeah, that's right, or no, that's not right. And so I'm more than thrilled that people are listening to it.
Absolutely. And then just the conversations and the education, and it is like looking behind the curtain, you are correct. So that's good. And you know, it's comforting to hear this. And you talk about the MS population. So is your work, I mean, I don't think the work is ever done with the MS population, but do you want to go to a different group to work with next? Or do you even think about what's next?
I do, yeah. So I actually have thought about, you know, probably 15 more topics I could do in MS. But and maybe I will revisit it over time, because it is kind of my area of passion and love. But we have a few different populations we're focusing on next. So I'm going to do a series on brain injury and concussion. We are going to do a series on long COVID. And so how are people living with long COVID, and what can mental health providers do to support people who are living with long COVID? We're also going to do something on women's health and breast cancer. There's a few other things that are percolating, but those are the ones that are, you know, actively being worked on right now. And I'm also going to do one that's more general, just sort of what is rehabilitation psychology? Rehabilitation psychology is kind of the psychology of working with people that have a chronic illness or disability. And then health psychology, and then neuropsychology, because these are all different realms of psychology that I've heard, you know, even seasoned neurologists don't realize that there are different types of subtypes of psychologists or mental health workers out there. And so, you know, they don't even know to say, hey, look for this kind of mental health provider. And so we're going to do some sort of, you know, more general series on, you know, what are these different types of mental health providers, so that, you know, both patients and referring providers can figure out where to send the patient.
Wow.
So we do this podcast because we both have MS, and this is our experience, our background and everything. And you're doing this, I mean, like, there's multiple sclerosis, then you're talking about traumatic brain injury. We can do this because we understand multiple sclerosis. I mean, how do you get inside of the heads then of the patients to be able to then talk about empathy for them to providers?
Yeah, you know, so with MS, I think part of it was having worked for so long, and then also just kind of following people like you, and I've definitely listened to your podcast as well, and others who are advocates in the MS community, and, you know, hearing what everyone was saying. And so I kind of started just thinking about what do I see as the themes, and then also, you know, who are the advocates who are out there, how are they talking about this as well? What do they want providers to know about? You know, for each of these other diagnoses, I realize that I'm not the expert because I'm so niched into MS. You know, I got my training in health psychology, but I am not as deep into it, into that those worlds. So what I'm going to do is pull an expert from each of those worlds, somebody who's been working in brain injury or who's been exclusively working in long COVID, and I'm going to have them sort of be the guide. So either they'll lead the series or they will work with me to put together, you know, who are not only the research and clinician experts, but who are the patient voices out there that all of us should be listening to.
Absolutely. Well, because I was just thinking, that's a lot of work, Megan. I think that's just, I mean, and so I'm just thinking, how do you do it? And so, and then to know, okay, so let me ask this then, because we always want to talk empathy for the patient. Do patients in turn need to have empathy for the providers?
You know, I mean, I don't know, I'm hesitating at that because I think it's important for them to maybe sometimes to understand the perspective or sort of understand what the constraints are that providers are working within. So, you know, something that I usually try to do when I'm working with people is I will tell them, you know, not in a negative way, but like, here are the parameters in terms of what the hospital system has been putting on me in terms of insurance coverage or, you know, how I can schedule appointments and, you know, those kinds of things. And I just want you to know that so that you know that if you can't get an appointment for a month, it's not because I don't want you to get an appointment. It's because, you know, here's some of the constraints that we're working under. So I think sometimes providers are hesitant to provide, again, that peek behind the curtain, that transparency, and probably for a variety of reasons. But I don't know if it's having empathy for the provider, but I think sometimes it's helpful to really understand those perspectives because there are situations that are sometimes out of providers' hands. But that also gives you more education to say, hey, maybe this is not the right place for me because I need to be able to get a hold of my doctor same day. And if I can't do that in a major academic medical center, then maybe I'll have my, you know, expert doctor there, but I'll have a community provider so that I can get a hold of somebody same day. You know, I think that that's helpful, but I think it's more so that you can make the decisions that are best for you.
Nice. Yes, and that is important. And as you're talking, you have so much good work going on, and I'm very, I am excited that now this is going to get out to so many people living with chronic illness. But we talk about with chronic illness how important self-care is. And you as a professional, I mean, when you're talking about all these wonderful ideas you have, how do you manage your self-care? Do you have any tips or anything that you could point out for the MS community? Something that works really well. I mean, I don't know if that's appropriate, but.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm more than happy to answer that. I'll say, I think it's a continual work in progress. And I think that that's true for the people I work with, right? So I aim for exercising regularly because I advocate for that for my patients. And that looks like a lot of different things, right? So sometimes I'll be consistent with it, and then life throws a curveball like it does for all of us. And so I'll have to refigure out how to make that work. And so it's not, I mean, it's also having that flexibility to say, this is important to me, but, you know, it may not always look the same. I'm pretty good about, you know, not working outside of certain hours. And so kind of putting some parameters around that so that I have family time. And if I do, it's kind of intermittent. I definitely take time to, you know, spend time with friends, and I have a big extended family that I like getting together with, so that does take priority. And I love to travel, so if I can fit that in here and there, I do that. And you know, I was you said this is a lot of work. It is, and it also brings me a lot of joy, and it's a passion for me. So it brings me a lot of rejuvenation as well. But I think I was noticing that doing this, you know, the podcast and everything, and trying to work full time at an academic medical center, I was getting burnt out. And so I did go part time so that I could protect some space around work time and then family and you know, leisure time as well. So, you know, not everybody has the, you know, the ability to do those kinds of things, and I feel very grateful to be able to have that flexibility and that privilege. But I do think it's important to protect time. You know, I'm a huge Brené Brown fan, and she, you know, she talks about the importance of play. I think Yes. It's so important for all of us to take time for enjoyment and just having fun.
And as much as it's important to enjoy and have fun, it's important to know your limits and to, mm-hmm. and to accept that if you can't do something, you know, well, you, as much as we do, know that with MS, if you can't do it today, don't give up hope that you'll never be able to do it again. And just give yourself that latitude to take a break and understand that you have to work within the parameters of the disease.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Now, looking at everything with the podcast, with Find Empathy, where you've been, where you're going, I guess, looking at it here today in September of 2022, is it accomplished? Are you accomplishing what you had wanted to do with it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's just the beginning. I'll say that, you know, mm-hmm. I started it really, in January, you know, this year, and I have a lot of big visions for where it could be in the future. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the feedback that I've gotten so far, the people that have written me back channel emails saying that it was useful and helpful to them, you know, that stuff keeps me going and makes me think, okay, I'm on the right path. You know, I think it's going to be a slow building process over time. And, you know, it'll take time to build up the curriculum so that we can cover lots of different topics and lots of different diagnoses. But at the same time, I am excited about it. I love doing it. I think that it's making a difference in some small way, and hopefully it'll make a bigger ripple in the future. I think in general I'm very happy with how it's going.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And we typically end, Megan, our show with moments of joy. Would you be willing, this is kind of on the spot, would you be willing to talk about a moment of joy, share with us something this past week?
Absolutely.
Okay, so, thank you.
This is not kind of a normal thing for me, but I had a good family friend that I have known since I was 2 years old, got married, and her wedding was in Puerto Rico. So I actually just got back from Puerto Rico last night. I'd never been. It was beautiful.
Nice.
And the whole big thing was a lot of joy, but there was, on the side of the ocean, there were these kind of, there were a lot of big rocks on the ocean, and there was one day where I was just sort of sitting there watching the water, and there were all these kind of tiny little crabs that were just like kind of peeking out, and then they'd run back into the sand and peeking out, and for some reason I just got a kick out of watching them.
Oh, how fun. You
know, run around the rocks, and you know, it was just like a little small thing, but there was just something really fun about watching, you know, watching what they were doing.
And when you hear about it, I have a big smile on my face. So that
so
that brought joy to me. That sounds fun. Yes. So, Dan, really, did you have a moment of joy this week?
My moment of joy came on Saturday when our friends called, like, to wish us happy anniversary and just spontaneously come out to our place for a bonfire and we'll cook dinner. So just sitting outside and grilling with friends and having hamburgers on Saturday night. So that was fun. Yeah. How about you?
We saw John Mulaney. He's a comedian, and Dan is a big fan of John Mulaney. So I think the best moment for me was just to have John Mulaney walk out and to see my husband's, we don't have children, but I imagine it would be like a kid when they see Santa Claus or something. Dan had the biggest grin on his face. So that was pretty amazing. And it was a great, great comedy special or performance. It was really good.
So. We were so close. I could have played catch with him. We sat that close to the stage. So anyway, yes, that was my moment of joy.
Awesome. Yeah.
So then I guess wrapping up then, final question for you, Megan. I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with Find Empathy that just where it's going, where it's been, things you want to accomplish? And
yeah, maybe one more thing. You know, if people are interested, obviously it's on every major podcast platform, and you can find out more at findempathy.com. But I would say the one other thing is that I'm slowly also creating a directory of mental health providers that have the specialty expertise in health and medical conditions. And that's also at Find Empathy. So if you go to findempathy.com, there will be a drop down for, you know, patients and families. And on under there is, you know, find a provider. So I think right now we have around 70 providers across the country. And, you know, we're partnering with different places like, you know, Consortium of MS Centers and others to kind of grow that list over time. But it's just another way that, you know, even if the podcast isn't your cup of tea, if you are somebody who's looking for a mental health provider who has a specialty expertise, keep checking back. Most of the providers on there do telehealth and work across state lines. So we'll keep growing that over time.
Wow.
Nice. And we will have links to that and everything on the liner notes for this podcast, just so people can access the podcast and the directory and everything. So thank you so much for joining us today for this, because we, like I say, we've just been following your podcast, and it's just like, just to have you here just to tell your story. And
again, Megan, thank you for everything you're doing for the MS community. I mean, you are doing good work, and it's just so valuable, so very exciting. Thank you for taking this time and chatting with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Perfect. Well, until next time then, this is A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman. I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman. I'm rolling.
And together we are moving forward. Take care. Bye. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me. Ryan, the producer, is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.